They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
You are free to do as we tell you. You are free to do as we tell you.
They own you.
I was tired as hell, but I'm not gonna take this anymore.
From XPR, Expat Progressive Radio, it's time for the Bills Show. And now, here are the Bills.
And welcome to the Bills Show, ladies and gents. And it's the beginning of April. And that's right, all the democracy in America must go. That's right, it's our big democracy sale here in America. Every part of the Constitution, including freedom of speech, must go to the highest bidder. What do I have? What do I have? What do I have for our democracy? What do I have? Of course, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about McCutchen versus the FCC, the Roberts Court. That's why we're doing a show, folks. Because literally, Randy called me up today and he said, listen, I'm, you know, he's a teacher, so he had some work to do, so he couldn't do this show this afternoon. We're going to be doing one next week, but I have been sitting here for a week and a half grinding my teeth, talking to myself at the grocery store, which means I'm probably not psychologically okay. Looking at the problem of American democracy just being flushed down the shitter while I'm watching. The McCutchen decision versus the FCC, the Roberts Court, 5-4, have judged that you can just give as much money to anybody as you want. In fact, by the way, if you're Donald Trump, here's an idea. Just get a pickup truck and, you know, recruit congressmen like they're migrant workers. Go up to the Congress, say, okay, how much? I need you to vote against an EPA regulation. How much? That's exactly what we're into. Bribery is just open door legal now. It is open door legal. This is Citizens United. And after Citizens United, you didn't think it'd get any worse. It does, and it did in the past 2 weeks. This is Jon Stewart on The Daily Show talking about McCutchen versus the FCC.
Big campaign finance decision out of the nation's highest court.
Breaking news from the Supreme Court, major campaign contribution case.
The case was brought by Alabama businessman Sean McCutchen, who argues he should be able to support as many candidates as he wants in an election cycle.
Who's stopping you? I mean, it's your lawn, right? I mean, oh, wait a minute. You don't mean support like support. You mean support like support.
I think this is a fundamental free speech issue about your right to spend your money on as many candidates as you choose.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Is the whole money equals speech as a way to further amplify big donors' influence on politics? You know, because for some reason, money equaling money wasn't getting it done.
The court left intact how much any person can give to a single federal candidate, but it did away with the limit on how much anybody can give to all candidates put together.
Victory! Finally, we're rid of the corrosive influence of not enough money in politics.
Basically, it gives people who have a lot of money at their disposal the chance to spread their influence even more widely. If you have $1 million now, think how many chunks of 5,200 that makes.
It's, you gotta write a lot of checks.
You can write a lot of checks.
Yep. Lots and lots of $5,200 checks. The last great hope of preserving our democracy from the corrupting influence of money is carpal tunnel syndrome.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that's right. writing fatigue is the only thing that stops anyone from just basically throwing as much money as possible at our political system that is already owned. I could not, well, of course I believed it. This was on the cards as soon as Citizens United happened, but the audacity of it. And you know what was really interesting is watching basically all the bought and paid for whores, which they are. They're whores. The whores like John Boehner and Mitch McConnell. And an absolutely disgusting display. I want to play for you this just bunch with a little bit of editorializing on my part of Boehner, McConnell, and Scarborough. Scarborough on Morning Crap, on Morning Joe, sitting there sucking off the Koch brothers. I swear to God.
And one of the things that Citizens United did, quite correctly in my view, it wasn't as broad a ruling as people on the left think it was. It dealt only with corporate speech. And basically what it said was, no longer do corporations that own newspapers and television stations have an exclusive right to free speech. All corporations do. So all it did was level the playing field so that you no longer had preferred speech for some and no speech for others.
No, what I think this means is that freedom of speech is being upheld. You all have the freedom to write what you want to write. Donors ought to have the freedom to give what they want to give. This was, remember, all this goes back to this bizarre McCain-Feingold bill that was passed that has distorted the political process in ways that no one who voted for it ever believed in. Some of us understood what was going to happen. And when it's pushing all this money outside the party structure into all these other various forms. And I'm all for freedom. Congratulations.
Explore calling David Koch un-American. You know New York City. You love New York City. I know you have a lot of supporters that know what David has done for the Lincoln Center, know what David has done for cancer research. You take all the money he has given to this city.
The spiritless corporate little bitches, suckers of Satan's cock, each and every one of them. Suck Satan's cock. Put that big scaly pecker down your gullet. Drink that black worm jism. Drink it. Fill your little bellies.
Obscene Bill Hicks is right. Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. We're going to talk a little bit about Mitch McConnell. Suck Satan's cock, Mitch. Mitch McConnell and how much money he's standing to make from this little thing, by the way. Oh, by the way, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. He's making money. Everybody gets rich. Everybody goes to home in a limousine with this deal. The whole idea that John Boehner's sitting there saying, you know what it's doing? It's taking all that money and putting it away from direct contributions to people, to these PACs. They're terrible. You know what I mean? Like American Crossroads and all the PACs that you guys regularly take money from. Oh, by the way, they can still get PAC money. In addition to PAC money, you have people like Charles and David Koch, based in Kansas City. Say you have a congressman or a senator, or say three congressmen in a state that routinely are standing between Charles and David Koch and, I don't know, environmental regulation for his fossil fuel industry. Now Charlie and David Koch has no limit to how many checks that he can write out of state. If he wants to get, he can donate limitless amount of money to PAC money, and he can donate and put together as many checks as he wants to as many candidates he wants. So what this means is basically these guys can target anyone, anywhere, and just write him a check. This is disgusting. This is open bribery. This is sucking Satan's cock. Obscene Bill Hicks is right. And of the people who are basically doing a lot of sucking, I'd like to say, Mitch McConnell, come on down. Yes, Mitch, you're the next contestant in Sucking Satan's Cock. Ladies and gentlemen, we've done a little bit of research about exactly how this McCutcheon versus FCC decision is going to affect our very own favorite turtle man, Mitch McConnell. This is from Huffington Post, OpenSecrets.org. I'm going to play this music because I just friggin' love it. Yes, that's right, Mitch. I'm going to do this as a game show. That's right, Mitch. During the 2012 election cycle, in which Mitch McConnell did not run, all donors were limited to giving only $123,000, with $48,600 going to individual candidates and $74,600 to committees and parties. However, many are now arguing that Wednesday's ruling will open the floodgates to money poisoning the electoral cycle, upping the limit from $123,000 to, get this, $3.5 million. And who's going to be there? That's right, Mitch McConnell, personally. With $281,301 in the bank from all sorts of lobbyists, McConnell has topped the list this election season with the most contributions of any politician in Congress. What are you taking the money for, Mitch? Followed closely by, guess what? The other sucker of Satan's cock we listened to just recently, John Boehner, who caps off so far at $278,380. The organization Open Secrets compiled the data with the donations from federally registered lobbyists, including the companies and different organizations who spend a certain amount of money lobbying Congress. Gee, I wonder who's in the pocket. According to the law, when they do so, they're required to register with the federal government. McConnell also received more money than any other lawmaker since 2013 so far. That's right, it's only April. Mitch McConnell, you are a whore. You are fantastically the highest priced whore in Washington, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Mitch. Oh, God. Oh, God. And it's right, I was actually, I was in the lettuce aisle talking to myself about this. And you know, this is the hazard, I guess, you have for about a couple of years watching the inevitable come true and how depressing it really all is. Not only American politics, I mean, there's a lot of, I could talk to you about Australian politics here that's quite depressing, but the general funk in the progressive community in the last 2 weeks has been just shocking. I mean, I was listening to Driftglass and Blue Gal on the Professional Left, which, by the way, great show. Great show. And a show that actually helped us as a podcast. So Driftglass, Blue Gal, I'm not sure if you listen to our show, but if you do, hey. I was wonderfully touched by Blue Gal sitting there saying, you know, if you got to take a break from politics, from reading, you know, like, go and read a Ludlum thriller or something for a while, because it has been a very difficult 2 weeks. And to watch the, it's now it's all out in the open. Now the corruption is just in your face, obvious. Listen, just so that we can go off on it, probably to our break. We'll go off to our break, but I wanted to. This what happened this fortnight reminded me very, very strongly of Keith Olbermann. And Keith Olbermann did a statement in 2010 when Citizens United passed. And I'd like to return to that now. It is something I'm not sure if you remember that he did. But he made some predictions of what was going to happen. And now, bear in mind, this was broadcast, I think, in October 2010. I want you to check off how many things that in this broadcast, what Olbermann says, have already come to pass. Not to mention the fact that Keith Olbermann isn't on network television talking about politics anymore. Not to mention that. And whatever you think of Olbermann, he brought to light, he actually made a dent. He's a self-aggrandizing guy. Sure he is, but I don't think anybody as articulately put forward so forcefully. And he took a 2-day, he was given the kick from his show for 2 days for what he said that night. But I think he was dead on. So this is taken to the break, 2010, Keith Olbermann talking about Citizens United and what the world may look like and is starting to look like now. We'll be back with more Bill's Show in one moment.
In short, there are now no checks on the ability of corporations or unions or other giant aggregations of power to decide our elections. None. They can spend all the money they want, and if they can spend all the money they want, sooner rather than later, they will implant the legislators of their choice in every office, from president to head of the visiting nurse service. And if senators and congressmen and governors and mayors and councilmen and everyone in between are entirely beholden to the corporations for election and re-election to office, soon they will erase whatever checks there might still exist to just slow down the ability of corporations to decide the laws. It is almost literally true that any political science fiction nightmare you can now dream up, no matter whether you are conservative or liberal, it is now legal. Because the people who can make it legal can now be entirely bought and sold. No actual citizens required in the campaign fundraising process. And the entirely bought and sold politicians can change any laws. And any legal defense you can structure now can be undone by the politicians who will be bought and sold into office this November or 2 years from now. And any legal defense which honest politicians can somehow wedge up against them this November or 2 years from now, that can be undone by the next, even larger set of politicians who will be bought and sold into office in 2014 or 2016 or 2018. Mentioning Lincoln's supposed ruminations about arresting Roger B. Taney, he didn't say the original of this, but what the hell? Right now, you can prostitute all the politicians some of the time and prostitute some of the politicians all the time, but you cannot prostitute all the politicians all the time. Thanks to Chief Justice Roberts, this will now change. Unless this near-mortal blow is somehow undone, within 10 years, every politician in this country will be a prostitute. And now let's contemplate what the perfectly symmetrical, money-driven world of that order might look like. Be prepared first for laws criminalizing or at least neutering unions. In today's court decision, they are the weaker of the non-human sisters, unfettered by the court. So, as in ancient Rome or medieval England, they will necessarily be strangled by the stronger sibling, the corporations, so that they pose no further threat to the corporation's total control of our political system. Be prepared then for the reduction of taxes for the wealthy and for the corporations, and the elimination of the social safety nets for everybody else, because money spent on the poor means less money left for the corporations. Be prepared then for wars sold as the new products, which Andy Card once described them as, year after year, as if they were new Fox reality shows, because military-industrial complex corporations are still corporations. Be prepared then for the ban on same-sex marriage and on abortion and on evolution being taught and on separation of church and state. The most politically agitated group of citizens left are the evangelicals. Throw them some red meat to feed their holier-than-thou rationalizations, and they won't care what else you do to this corporate nation. Be prepared then for racial and religious profiling, because you've got to blame somebody for all the reductions in domestic spending and civil liberties just to make sure the agitators against the United Corporate States of America are kept unheard. Be prepared for those poor, dumb, manipulated bastards, the Tea Partiers, to have a glorious few years as the front men, as the corporations that bankroll them slowly unroll their total control of our political system. And then be prepared to watch them be banished, maybe outlawed, when a few of the brighter ones suddenly realize that the corporations have made them merely the Judas goats of American freedom. And be prepared then for the bank reforms that President Obama has just this day vowed to enable to be rolled back by his successor, purchased by the banks with the money President Bush gave them, his successor, presumably President Palin, because if you need a friendly face of fascism, you might as well get one that can wink. And if you need a tool of whichever large industries buy her first, you might as well get somebody who lives up to that word, tool. Be prepared for the little changes, too. If there are any small towns left to take over, Walmart can now soften them up with carpet advertising for their Walmart town council candidates, brought to you by Walmart. Be prepared for the Richard Mellon Scaifes to drop such inefficiencies as vanity newspapers and simply buy and install their own city governments in the Pittsburghs. Be prepared for the personally wealthy men like John Kerry to become the paupers of the Senate, or the ones like Mike Bloomberg not even surviving the primary against Halliburton's choice for mayor of New York City. Be prepared for the end of what you're watching now. I don't just mean me or this program or this network. I mean all the independent news organizations and the propagandists like Fox, for that matter, because Fox inflames people against the state. And after today's ruling, the corporations will only need a few more years of inflaming people before the message suddenly shifts to everything's great. Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh don't even realize it. Today, John Roberts just cut their throats too. So with critics silenced and bought off, and even the town assessor who lives next door to you elected to office with campaign funds 99.9% drawn from corporate coffers, what are you going to do about it? The internet. The internet. Ask them about the internet in China. Kiss net neutrality goodbye. Kiss whatever right to privacy on the net you think you currently have goodbye. And anyway, what are you going to complain about if you don't even know it happened? In the new world unveiled this morning by John Roberts, who stops Rupert Murdoch from buying the Associated Press? This decision, which in mythology would rank somewhere between the bottomless pit and the opening of Pandora's box, got next to no coverage in the right-wing media today, almost nothing in the middle, and a lot less than necessary on the left. The right wing won't even tell their constituents that they're being sold into bondage alongside the rest of us. Why should they? For them, the start of this will be wonderful. The Republicans, the conservatives, the Joe Liebermans, the Tea Partiers are in the front aisle at the political prostitution store. They are specially discounted old favorites for their corporate masters. Like the first years of irreversible climate change for the conservatives, the previously cold winter will grow delightfully warm. Only later will it be hot, then unbearable, then flames. And the conservatives will burn with the rest of us, and they'll never know what happened. So what are you going to do about it? Turn to free speech advocates? These were the free speech advocates. The lawyer for that homunculus who filed this suit, David Bossie, the lawyer is Floyd Abrams. Floyd Abrams, who has spent his life defending American freedoms, especially freedom of speech. Apparently, this life was spent this way in order to guarantee that when it really counted, he could help the corporations destroy free speech. His argument, translated from self-satisfied legal jargon, is that as a function of the First Amendment, you must allow for the raping and pillaging of the First Amendment by people who can buy the First Amendment. He will go down in the history books as the quisling of freedom of speech in this country. That is, if the corporations who now buy the school boards which decide which history books get printed approve, if there are still history books. So what are you going to do about it? Russ Feingold told me today there might yet be ways to work around this, to restrict corporate governance and how corporations make and spend their money. I pointed out that any such legislation, even if it somehow sneaked past this, the last U.S. Senate, not funded by a generous gift from the Chubb Group, would eventually wind up in front of a Supreme Court, and whether or not John Roberts was still at its head would be irrelevant. The next nine men and women on the Supreme Court will get there not because of their judgment, nor even their politics. They will get there because they were appointed by purchased presidents and confirmed by purchased senators. This is what John Roberts did today. This is a Supreme Court-sanctioned murder of what little actual democracy is left in this democracy. It is government of the people, by the corporations, for the corporations. It is the Dark Ages. It is our Dred Scott. I would suggest a revolution, but a revolution against the corporations that make all the guns and the bullets? Maybe it won't be this bad. Maybe the corporations, legally defined as human beings, but without the pesky occasional human attributes of conscience and compassion, maybe when handed the only keys to the electoral machine, they will simply not redesign America in their own corporate image. But let me leave you with this final question. After today, who's going to stop them? Good night and good luck.
And we're back. And Keith Olbermann, I cannot say that I have ever heard it said so well, and it just stuck in my mind when I was in the supermarket. If that wasn't enough today, the other thing that we wanted to talk about a little bit about today was this story, and this is why it was like 2 weeks of just utter hell. If you read newspapers, if you actually were reading newspapers, and by the way, People sit there and go, don't you? You just read all that left-wing stuff. No. I read just about everything. National Review. Though my arteries can't take the National Review that much. But this came out of the UN in this fortnight, and probably what I found absolutely absurd is all the news broadcasts had this as, like, except for NBC. NBC just did a special with Ayan Curry on climate change. And can I say that NBC, kudos for that, because it's the first mainstream corporate-owned media that has, in their nightly news, actually pursued this. And here in Australia, climate change is real. Even though we have elected, you guys think that basically that because I have this podcast that I talk about American politics, that the only morons you can find are in America. No. We have a moron who's, we have an active moron who denies climate change, who's our prime minister. Yes, that's right. Even though we have, you know, fires outside my window. You know, so 95% of climatologists, don't believe that's true. Pig's ass. So I'm not saying that we don't have morons. Morons are the things that keep on giving the world over. The climate change report from the UN was absolutely devastating. I'd like to go to a clip that I heard that literally you just sat there and you went, oh, okay, great. This is turning out to be a fantastic week. Here it is, the report on climate change from the UN.
Severe, pervasive, and irreversible. Words used in a new UN report about the likely impact of global warming. Amid extreme weather worldwide, experts meeting in Japan say the health, economic prospects, and food and water sources of billions of people are at stake.
When you look at the key findings of the report, one of the most important findings is that we're not in an era where climate change is some kind of a future hypothetical. We live in a world where impacts of climate changes that have already occurred are widespread and consequential. We see impacts from the equators to the poles and from the coast to the mountains. There's no question that we live in a world that's already altered by climate change.
An earlier assessment raised the probability that humans are responsible for global warming, thought to cause everything from droughts to rising sea levels. The UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change says the time for action is now. It's hoping the world's politicians are listening.
Hey, where's Bill? Oh, he's got his head in the oven. And he's opened his wrists, but that's it. Okay. Really, seriously, man. This was the week. This was the week that they find you in the oven. This is the week that basically you just go, oh, really? Really? Seriously, so when I heard Blue Gal go, you know, you could take a break from politics for a while. Oh my God! Don't worry, I'm fine. Seriously, I don't want anybody emailing saying, "Ah, gee, I hope he's all right." That guy on the radio. According to a report, the climate change is likely to ratchet up the amount of stress being placed on natural and human systems to the point where increased loss of species. It's likely. Oh, that. Along with increasingly frequent breakdowns in the functioning of human society. FYI. FYI, by the way. Yeah, but how's that going to affect Chris Christie's chances in 2016? In particular, the report cites the effects increased temperatures and heat waves will have on essential food crops. Oh, something that we don't need, you know, food. In most cases, lowering productivity and warns of food availability and price swings that could lead to what we need more of, civil unrest. In countries that are already having problems meeting the basic needs of its citizens. Climate change has already begun to hold back wheat and maize yields, report found. Global temperatures increases of 7.2 degrees Fahrenheit
or more above late 20th century levels, combined with increasing food demand, would pose a large risk to food security globally and regionally. The report says that the world is ill-prepared to manage the risks from this changing climate, and that if warming proceeds along with the high end of the possible range of outcomes, climate change may overwhelm even the most well-prepared and wealthy nations. It paints a bleak picture of a hotter, more unstable future in which the combination of climate change and population growth combined to overwhelm the capacity of natural human systems, resulting in increased poverty, conflict, and species extinction. Yeah, by the way. You know what? I got kids, you know? And I am sick of this because so many of the people that we talk about on this show, so many of the people that we talk about in this show are actively going about trying to destroy our planet. To kill people. I mean, really, for their own profit. And I talked directly about the Koch brothers. Now, in the last segment, we talked about the Koch brothers being an instrument in unlimited donations to politicians, to buy politicians. Greenpeace did a clip basically about two things. One thing that I wanted to talk about was the Koch brothers and their relation to making sure that in the last 20 years, we have not addressed climate change. We have guaranteed that this possibility of species extinction happen. There are people in the United States who have immense power right now who are going about a conspiracy to make sure that we do nothing about climate change. And they will be the death of us. And I'm talking about Charles and David Koch. Here's a clip from Greenpeace that talks a little bit about the conspiracy hatched not only by the Koch brothers, but by these corporate interests, of which the Koch brothers are one, the second largest fossil fuel company, the Koch brothers. And this Greenpeace film is a short clip, and it talks about how the Kochs have basically funded the climate denial industry in the United States for the past 15 years. This is short. I want you to have a listen to it.
This is Charles and David Koch, oil barons with personal fortunes of over $21 billion each. But perhaps their greatest achievement is helping convince the world that global warming doesn't exist. In the early 1990s, a scientific consensus began to emerge that burning fossil fuels, such as oil and coal, was changing the Earth's climate. In order to protect profits, these industries devised a plan to reposition global warming as a theory and not fact, and designed what a recent Greenpeace report dubbed the climate change denial machine.
It's a network of corporations and think tanks, front groups, who try to lie about the climate science, stop policies that will solve global warming. Of all the dirty energy money that's coming into Washington trying to influence policies, Koch is the worst. Koch is the largest donor, and nobody's ever heard of them.
The denial machine works like this. As citizens, we generally don't trust what energy industry representatives tell us about climate change. But we do trust these messages when given to us by experts or by our peers. In 2007, Koch paid scientists to publish a bogus study that polar bears weren't being affected by climate change. They've invested millions of dollars, turning George Mason University into what Mother Jones magazine called a haven for climate deniers, and even underwritten denier conferences. But while the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change brought together over 600 authors from 40 countries for their latest report, renowned skeptic Steve Malloy admits that his side is vastly outnumbered.
It's really amazing, and it's really sort of a band of about 25 people, I guess, maybe a few more, And most recent polls show that more people feel more strongly on my side than on the, you know, Al Gore side.
So how is such a small minority overcome an almost total consensus among climate scientists? Here we come to the true genius of the denial machine, the echo chamber. In order to give the impression of a genuine scientific debate, the Kochs have funded dozens of supposedly independent think tanks, whose army of staffers disseminate this doubt throughout the media and launch coordinated attacks on real climate scientists. They've created Americans for Prosperity, who poses concerned citizens.
A stop in Wichita today for a national group on a hot air balloon tour.
The hot air tour, a rally against what organizers call global warming alarmist legislation.
They fund business groups, women's groups, college groups, seniors groups, and even church groups, while adding to the chorus of climate denial. Add to this the tens of millions the Kochs have funneled into lobbying and political donations, and it's not hard to see why no political action has been taken. The denial machine, it can't change the science, but its brilliance in shaping public opinion has helped the Kochs' income soar, while the rest of us get taken for a ride.
Good night, children. Isn't that a nice story? Isn't that a nice story? Yes, the Koch brothers, for the last 15 years, really sitting there. And this is the tragedy of exactly what's happened right now. What you've had right now is a perfect storm in which the same people that are assuming political control of the United States are the same people that want to destroy the planet. The people that are sooner, not later, going to have all the political power in one of the largest first world countries in the world will be run by people who are consciously trying to destroy this planet. Sleep well, kids. Uncle Bill's here to cheer you up. If you want to know how effective he has been, look, almost anybody reputable out there, in by the way, if you go on a college campus, which I've done, and you sit around and you talk to people, and also in America, you'll find most kids acknowledging that, you know, global warming is actually something that they know about. And people from our side of politics, we know that. You know who doesn't get it? Yeah, that's right. It's the Republican side of politics that just does not get it. We have had access to a new Gallup poll. And this comes out of the Washington Examiner. A new Gallup poll survey shows a stark comparison and divide in Americans' belief in global warming. About one-third of the public, mostly Democrats, say they worry a great deal about global warming. Well, you know something, when somebody talks about species extinction, I have a tendency to worry. I'm crazy that way. When they say my food supply is under threat, I'm a fat guy. I have a problem with that. While a much larger number, this is what I love. A much larger number, mostly Republicans and independents, say they worry about warming. Yeah, only a little, not at all, or just a fair amount. Because evidently, species extinction don't scare them. At the same time, a solid majority of Americans express great concern about a number of other environmental issues. It's just global warming that doesn't seem to bother them. There are significant partisan divisions on the warming issue. Gallup found that 56% of Democrats say they worry a great deal about global warming. That's right. We read. I just meant, I hate to say this, but look, I know there are some Republicans that read, but look, what most of the Republicans are actually sitting in front of Fox News or listening to some of these dumb buckets in the media, the corporate media. And the corporate media will just lie their asses off. You know? Seriously. And at Fox, they will literally reinforce the idea that global warming still is a debate. It's not a fucking debate. Unbelievable.
There are just 29% of independents and 16% of Republicans say the same thing. 27% of Democrats say they worry a fair amount about warming compared to 19% of independents and 22% of Republicans. Finally, 63% of Republicans and 51% of independents say they worry about warming only a little or not at all. Now, this is where stupid just pisses me off. I got kids, all right? Because I got kids, and I'm a Democrat. I have been all my life. And you are going to destroy the planet that I live on because you're a fucking idiot. That's the bottom line. That's why I have impatience with people. Bill used to sit here all the time and go, you know, you can't blame the victim. Yeah, I fucking well can. When 95% of the people you bring a car to says there's something wrong with the car, you believe them. When 95% of climatologists who study this like for a living say there's a problem with the climate and you guys are the problem, why would you take the word of Koch brothers bullshit or Fox and Friends above the people? You're an idiot. And you're going to drag us down with you. By the way, this is how successful the Koch brothers are right now. The Koch brothers in their ability to buy influence. And this was made public by the Obama administration. 210 of our representatives in Washington actively are suspicious or deny climate change. I am not fucking shitting you. This is something that I got a group of clips of some of the folks that are in the Congress right now and what they have to say about climate change.
The science is clear that man-made emissions of air pollution and global warming gases are changing
global warming
our atmosphere.
Is still an issue that the scientists are still debating, and you know it, and I know it.
The debate on the causes of climate change are far from settled.
Well, the climate's always changing. That's not the fundamental question. The fundamental question is whether man-made activity is what's contributing most to it. I understand that people say there's a significant scientific consensus on that issue, but I've actually seen reasonable debate on that principle.
You look at this last year, it was the warmest year in the last decade, I think was the numbers that came out. I accept that. I do not say that it is man-made.
I don't think CO2 is a problem, and therefore I don't think it needs to be regulated.
We all breathe CO2, climate changes, but there's no evidence at all that it's man-made CO2 that causes the climate to change.
It's almost comical. Every time we exhale carbon dioxide. Every cow in the world... you know, when they do what they do, you've got more carbon dioxide.
It could be secular. It could be just a shift on the axis.
The ice caps are melting, which we see over and over again. Yeah, they're melting on Mars, too.
I'd like to have somebody look at the lesser optimum, which is a little closer in time, and how much the temperature rises. You know, that led to the Vikings.
Suck Satan's cock. Suck Satan's cock. Suck Satan's cock.
Bill, that's not appropriate. You're using obscenity. Yeah. Yeah, I am. That's how pissed I am. And how pissed we all should be. These Judases are literally selling out the planet. Do you really think that John Boehner believes that global warming isn't real? I mean, the Defense Department has done studies on global warming. These guys know that global warming is real. They just have come to the conclusion they're going to be rich and they're not going to give a fuck. Because most of the people that are going to be hit by global warming are already poor. Yeah, that's right. Some of them, I think, are mad, are insane. Actually, you know, do drink the Kool-Aid. But Boehner? Nah. McConnell? Shit, yeah, he knows. He knows. Global warming's real. They know it. They lie about it. And they vote to destroy your planet. for money. Suck Satan's cock. It's the only thing that you can say. That's what these people do. I know that's shocking. We run an explicit show. But that's exactly, it's the imagery is absolutely correct. These people surface people that are about destroying the world. And we've come to a time in which they now dominate the politics, the political machinery of America. We'll be right back.
Okay, Newroll, the Channel 5 morning news team. People out here recognize this. The Channel 5 morning news team that freaked out when a small earthquake hit LA this week has to rename itself Good Morning Pussies. And stop calling news anchor Chris Schauble the face of the earthquake and call him what he really is, the face of shitting your pants. Newroll, stop making fun of Courtney Love for posting on Facebook that she might have located the Malaysian Airlines plane. Experts say it's like finding a needle in a haystack, and if anyone can find a needle, it's Courtney Love. She once found a tab of acid in a cornfield. Besides, at least she's trying to help. I don't see the guys in Soul Asylum doing jack shit. Newroll, Star Wars fans can't freak out about the news this week that the next installment will be set 30 years after the original. You gotta learn to accept that people get older. Dashing smuggler Han Solo is now... He's now smuggling generic Lipitor from Canada. And boyish Luke Skywalker is having trouble keeping his lightsaber up. And lovable robot R2-D2 is tired of living a lie. Newroll, the NCAA basketball tournament has to change its name from March Madness, which could be seen as offensive to the mentally ill, to something more accurate like white guys watching black guys play. Newroll, for just one day, there has to be a God. And when Fred Phelps arrives at the pearly gates, he has to be waiting there for him. Thank you, ma'am. And finally, Newroll, Democrats need to stop despairing about the gloomy midterm predictions and realize there's actually a glimmer of hope, and it has to do with suicide. Let me finish. For decades now, liberals pushed the issue of assisted suicide, and it got nowhere. Then they started to call it aid in dying, and its approval shot up 20 points, and it's now legal in 5 states. That's the power of language. And if they took the word dying out altogether and called it early retirement, it would probably win over 10 more states. If they called it death by chocolate, they could get all 50. Now, that success and the success the Democrats had in rebranding gay marriage as marriage equality means they have finally caught on to what Republicans learned a long time ago from their guru on words, deranged madman, slash friend of the show, Frank Luntz. Frank is the genius right-wing wordsmith who taught Republicans to, instead of saying estate tax, say death tax. Instead of saying poor people, say the takers. Instead of saying ridiculous toupee, say healthy head of natural human hair. And what Democrats need to do is start out-luncing the Republicans on all the issues. What's the difference between drilling for oil and energy exploration?
Nothing except one sounds like something assholes do, and one sounds like Indiana Jones. Healthcare reform, everyone likes that. Government takeover of healthcare. What are you, Hitler? What's the difference between creationism and intelligent design? Not IQ points. Being a Republican means starting with a bedrock principle like rich people shouldn't pay taxes or black people shouldn't vote. And then figuring out how to sell it to low information voters, otherwise known as Americans. Did I say don't tax rich people? I meant encourage the job creators. Did I say don't let black people vote? I meant clamp down on voter fraud. Did I say bring back slavery? I meant phase out race-based freedom quotas. Republicans are always confident they can move the needle on any issue because A, they know they have the right words to make the hamster hit the pedal. And B, they have the discipline with those words. Perhaps you noticed how everyone on the right universally decided at the exact same moment that Obama's weakness is what emboldened Putin to take Crimea. And that's not a matter of great minds thinking alike, because for that you would need great minds. No, that's because once the word is decided on, every single Republican, from the presidential contenders on down to the feces throwers on hate radio, all chant it like Rain Man over and over until it's beaten into our skulls. Now, I have no hope the Democrats will ever get that organized, but they could at least keep up the winning streak in the word game. Starting with, liberals must stop saying they believe in climate change or believe in evolution. Evolution is. It's not a matter of believing in it. I don't believe... I don't believe that water boils at 212 degrees. That's how hot it is when it happens. It's not ideology. It's soup. But most of all, just remember, you win the word game, you win the issue. Jesus was for feeding the poor. Rename food stamps Christ coupons. Marijuana legalization should be called creating green jobs. Abortion is a natal do-over, and illegal aliens are refried Americans. And solar energy has always sounded way too gay for rednecks. Instead, say, invade the sun and take its oil. All right, that's our show.
It's these bailouts that represent the abandonment of the capitalism.
Blowing the tops off mountains.
If you're out of a job, I guess you're a bum. You don't think that maybe it wasn't their fault. Maybe it was your fault, Orrin Hatch.
In healthcare, the lie that we should just allow the industry to run in a free market mode, the invisible hand of the market's going to take care of itself, nothing is farther from the truth.
This is Obama's my pet goat moment.
There's a Bush up for that.
Isn't this the end of democracy as we know it if 51 senators can pass something against the will of the majority 49?
The Best of the Left podcast. The best of the truly liberal media, edited, organized, and mixed, only at bestoftheleft.com.
It's time for Heroes. And asshats.
Well, I'm here. Not this is not Heroes and Assets, by the way, but here I am. I'm sitting in my studio. You got a little T tin of nuts here as we are doing wrapping up this show. And guess who just came by? Guess who came by? Bill.
Hello, hello.
How are you, my man?
I'm doing fine. On this nice, chilly Melbourne afternoon.
I know, it's kind of chilly. Kind of chilly. It's, yeah, crap. Yes, it's like
kind of like the politics of the world.
Yeah, it is.
Cold.
Listen, I'm so glad I played the Heroes and Assets theme because you're my hero today.
Oh, now look,
you're my hero, you big palooka. The reason we're having this little talk is because I said, man, you see, if you stop doing the show, because you know, I mean, in the last 12 months, I think that it's about 98,000 people have downloaded the broadcast. I'm not sure where that the stats are in the thousands. And we started 2 years ago with like two toy microphones in a den. And since then, we've been featured on Best of the Left in the States. 55,000 people have visited our site on Podbean. And we've done it for 2.5 years. And now you're hanging up the spikes for a little while. And I just wanted to say thank you.
Well, look, I certainly...
I'm getting teary, man.
Oh, come on.
I like Randall. I like him a lot, but I'm going to miss you, pal.
Well, look, Randall...
I love Randall. He's great. I'm not saying that just to say, Randy, I love you too, but...
Randy is funny.
I started with him.
Randy is funny, whereas I'm not.
You are.
I think that the biggest things facing us are really things that no longer have that much to do with Democrats and Republicans. I think that this is becoming a 99% versus the 1% game. Yeah. The transnational corporations have won the game, and either we fight back and take back our democracy or we don't. And right now, we're not. Let's be realistic.
Yeah.
The show... with you and Randy is going to get better because there aren't going to be as many people that want to go away and commit suicide after listening. So I think that is probably something that...
Bill Davis, Suicide Hotline.
While I work on starting a PhD here...
You know exactly what you lend to this broadcast, and I hope that you will come back occasionally when there is a bee in your bonnet. Though I know, you know, the thing is that... I think that you're much happier when you're not doing it.
Well, that could be.
I think that this.
I would rather play guitar and drink.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's a retirement plan.
That seems to me to be a more enjoyable pursuit. Although we just watched this documentary.
Oh God, that
Shadows
was great.
Shadows of Liberty.
You guys got to see it. You got to see this
absolute
documentary.
Must see. Complete takedown of our modern corporate media environment.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talk about heroes. Look at that list there of the people that are contributing to this. Amy
Hedges,
Goodman.
Chris Hedges. Dan Rather was
McChesney,
there.
McChesney. Julian Assange. There's a group of people. Daniel Ellsberg. Come on.
Daniel Ellsberg
Give it
is
up
a
for
legend.
Daniel Ellsberg. The Pentagon Papers.
You know what I turned to you and I said, you can tell when these guys talk, as a result of their actions and how much they risk, that they're not bullshitting you. You know, they are not bullshitting you. Daniel Ellsberg doesn't give a fuck. Daniel Ellsberg stood against the Pentagon in 74.
But none of these people will make big bucks now.
In our current society.
And I don't think any one of them cares. I think Bill Moyers could make money.
I think Bill Moyers could make money. But all the people that we played on this show, you know, or in an early segment, I played the old Oberman piece, you know, on Citizens United, which I thought was incredible. You know what's amazing? Keith Oberman's not doing politics anymore either. You know, I'm just saying, yeah, he is a pain in the ass, but there are a lot of pains in the ass in the industry. And, you know, where's Phil Donahue? Where's Keith Olbermann? Where are those people on the left who are in the mainstream media? They're all gone.
Well, and that's been by design. Yeah. I think that the stories that were brought out in that documentary just show us where we're at. This is a thing where we have to recognize that the people actually should be having a say here in what our media is and our media isn't. And our governments are giving away our rights to corporations. And I think it's a very, very big deal. I think that one of my pet peeves while we've been doing the show has been the TPP. And it looks like that may be in a bit of trouble because a lot of people are talking about it.
It is because of the internet, guys. It is because, you know, I mean, the stuff that we cover on this show, and this is a not a hard news broadcast, but we do bring forth, I hope, through our own specific perspective, which is biased. I mean, this is a left-wing broadcast. I'm sorry if you
this show has had a lot of bias since I've been involved in it.
Sure.
It's a bias towards decency. I really don't find regretting that very much. But the use of the foul language was always in the nature of trying to support decency.
I had a cross between decency, standing up for the American way, and a potty mouth.
Well, I must admit that I could never control that side of you.
I know. I think that's the thing. But, I do think, and I said it to you when we were watching this documentary together, we were just sitting there and going, you know, why do people turn to podcasts? I mean, this is just amateur radio. But why are people turning to this podcasting? And I'll tell you why people are turning to podcasting, because people on the left wing want to know that they're not alone. Because you're not going to get a reflection back in the mainstream media.
Well, and that I think that's become obvious to most people. I really liked Bill Maher last week. He can sometimes be rather grating, but he said, why is it that 80% of the people or more in the United States of America want no more guns sold without background checks? They want things like Social Security to be strengthened rather than cut. And yet that's not at all the direction that our Congress and our administration seems to be taking us. The difference between neoconservatism and neoliberalism is very, very small. And both sides of our politics don't want to do what's right for the people of the United States or of the world. They want to do what's right for their corporate masters because they have been bought and paid for. This is corruption. It's fraud. It's basic. It's simple. I liked...
And it's not just America. It's worldwide.
Oh, it is. That's true.
Yeah, and we talk about America. This is an American show, but we talk about America almost exclusively, and that's not really true, is it?
Well, but I've always spent a lot of time talking about the globalization of these corporations and what that's brought us. And that's made us... The barriers have been removed. And I think it's time to recognize that this is a fight for the entire world. It would be really, really nice to have some Western political leadership, but I don't see any.
Look, now that you're taking a bit of a break, what's the number one things you're going to be doing with your time? Painting? Not George Bush. You're not doing the Bush.
Small. We have a small amount.
It's my picture of my dog.
It seems that the shack needs a new coat of paint, and yeah. I'll be pursuing that. But basically, I'm headed towards pursuing a PhD, which is going to take a lot of time.
And you may be writing a book.
Yeah, that does seem to be part of what is involved in PhDs today. And that's fine. And we'll come on and talk about that if we get.
Please do come by again. Listen, I want to thank you so much. And I need the kids in here because the kids, the Bill Show's Cheer Squad, just wanted to come in for a minute. And then they're giving you a minute. There you go. See, they love you. The kids love you.
Hey, look, see you guys later. Thanks a lot.
Okay, love your face. That is the immortal Bill. He'll be back when he can. And hanging up the spikes for us, and we'll see him hopefully again.
And at least you can laugh at Randy.
So long, Bill. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time again. It's that commentary that we listen to because we hate our own head. It's our tinfoil hat segment today. Nice of Bill to come by. I was really happy to see him. And of course, we've been doing this show together for the past, golly, geez, it's been 2 years now. So a great thank you to Bill for that. And we do have a tinfoil hat. We had to change this tinfoil hat just as we did the was doing the last segment. Bill O'Reilly over at Fox decided that he would blame, now get this, he would blame UConn won the basketball. I don't know. I don't watch it. But evidently they did. A bunch of college kids got up and started causing a ruckus. Some people were arrested. It was unfortunate. Shouldn't have happened. And then Bill O'Reilly, who's obviously been sniffing glue, got on Fox today and did this rant that for some reason, you know who was to blame for what was going on those kids today? It's that Stephen Colbert. Who, by the way, has just been selected to do the Letterman show, which, by the way, I'm not crazy about. Because I think that puts him, because, look, Stephen Colbert is one of the great progressive satirists. If there's one thing that this crappy world that we inhabit right now, and by the way, you know, politically, it's crappy. One of the great things that this world has managed to produce during this time are satirists. Because when the world gets crappy, there are two things that get really good. Sometimes music gets really good and satire. And that goes back to Molière. And now it looks like Stephen Colbert is going to be joining the mainstream big time. By, you know, and hopefully he doesn't get sanitized. But anyway, evidently Stephen Colbert is really to blame for everything that has happened in the world. We're going to decipher. And then he goes on about saying that, you know, Stephen Colbert is spreading these rumors that people are treated unfairly in the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him, you love him, you can't live without him. He's the Lord of Idiocy. He's the guy, if your great uncle who comes to Thanksgiving every now and then took acid and was given a lot of power. It's Bill O'Reilly, ladies and gentlemen. He's the news and commentary we listen to because we hate our own head. Let's decipher this just a little bit. This is O'Reilly off the Factor this week.
In America. That is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. Last night, we chronicled how the grievance industry, which is being used as a political weapon by the Democratic Party, causing trouble on a number of fronts. If you missed the memo, it is posted on BillO'Reilly.com. Well, right on cue, another disgraceful exhibition. After their basketball team won the national championship, some students at the University of Connecticut rampaged, causing destruction and putting other students and police at risk. 35 people were arrested, 20 of them UConn students. At the University of Kentucky, which lost the game, a similar scene. Mindless vandalism, contempt for authority, 18 people hurt, multiple arrests. There is no political component involved. The mayhem is happening because of a breakdown of respect for property and authority. The main driver of the destructive mindset is grievance and entitlement.
So the main drivers of the riots evidently were entitlement? No. Budweiser and Southern Comfort. These kids today. Entitlement? What the hell are you dribbling on about? Jesus Christ. Look, in Canada, one of the most peaceful countries in the world. I mean, they don't get upset about anything. You should have seen the demonstrations when the Canucks lost. Okay? Make this look like nothing. Nothing. In Canada is not going, you know, crazy. Okay? When the Red Sox won the series. I mean, this happens. This does happen. It's regrettable, but it's not entitlement, Bill. You're hallucinating again. But then he goes further. No, this gets better. Listen to this.
USA is now being portrayed by powerful people as an unfair country that oppresses minorities, women, the poor, and so on. That message is sinking in. Thus, disrespect is rising. The primary grievance right now is alleged inequality. Progressives selling the myth that folks cannot get a fair shake in America because the system is rigged against most citizens. The left-wing media legitimizes that nonsense.
It's not a fantasy, Bill. And it's not those terrible people over at the Colbert Report that are making up these fantasies about it. In 2007, the top 1% share of the national income peaked at, get this, and this is in 2007, this is 6 years ago, 23.5%, close to a quarter of all the money made in America was given to the top 1%. Okay? Between 1979 and 2009, the top 5% of American families saw their real incomes increase 72.7%. Over the same period, the lowest income fifth saw a decrease in real income to 7.4%. Now, if you look at CEO pay alone, after adjusting for inflation, CEO pay in 2009 more than doubled the CEO pay averages for the decade of the 1990s, more than quadrupled the CEO pay average for the 80s, and ran approximately 8 times the CEO average for all the decades of the mid-20th century. Bill, shut up. It's not a myth. Things are unequal and the whole playing field is rigged. And it's not because the people in the left wing are so, just so damn convincing that they've managed to con the entire youth of America into believing something that obviously isn't true. No. It's when they get out of college, Bill, and they can't find a fucking job. When their real income and their real wages don't go up. People know that the game is rigged, not because of lefties like Colbert telling them. They know it because they stick their head out the fucking window. They go out and try to get a job. You got college graduates working at Taco Bell, for fuck's sake. And people like Bill O'Reilly still manage to make a living, I swear to God, telling you that the reason for all this terrible problems is Stephen Colbert. This is just, all right. He keeps on going. He's dribbling by this time. Somebody should get some Thorazine. Here's Bill. Wait, here we go.
And one of the biggest mouthpieces for the progressive movement is Stephen Colbert. Only about 1 million people watch his late night program at 11:30, but he is the darling of the far left internet, which rhapsodizes over him. Recently, Colbert mocked me on the subject of inequality.
O'Reilly knows the source of our decline.
Why is our nation in decline? Tonight, I can give you this. Equality is what is hurting President Obama. The left has seized that word, equality, to push its progressive agenda. We now have income equality, marriage equality, gender equality, and on and on and on.
Yes, income, marriage, gender, on and on and on. And yes, those last three don't mean anything, but they don't mean anything equally. And Bill laid out why fighting for equality is pointless.
The truth is, there will never be equality in this world. It's impossible. An opium-laced dream.
Yes, I believe that's what Dr. King was talking about in his I Have an Opium-Laced Dream speech.
Ah, but Mr. Colbert is a deceiver. I strongly believe in fighting for equality and also believe institutional bias should be against the law. What I oppose is government trying to impose equality because every human being is different. Maybe Colbert should take a look at China and the former Soviet Union to see just how the position of equality really works. Maybe Colbert should understand that Dr. King gave his life for equality of opportunity, and his dream was that human beings would be judged by the quality of their character, something Mr. Colbert might want to think about as he deceives his audience. Like many ideological fanatics, Colbert is misguided in the extreme. His analysis is delivered under the guise of comedy, but believe me, he's a true progressive believer playing exclusively to other believers. Colbert can be dismissed as clueless, but the guy does do damage because he gives cover to powerful people who are selling Americans a big lie that this country is bad, that it intentionally oppresses many of its own citizens. That is a lie. That point of view is shameful. America is not perfect, but we set the gold standard for opportunity in this world.
Yeah, Bill, that must be why those political bomb throwers over at the Economic Policy Institute, you know, in their State of Working America in the 12th edition, rated our social mobility. Yes, United States, social mobility. Behind Italy, Chile, and Slovenia. Bill, you're dribbling again. And you're mouthing off this crappy lie that everybody knows is untrue. The reason people are upset, Bill, is because the world, the America that you and I grew up in, let me talk to it. Certainly not, well, I did. But I know Bill O'Reilly. I grew up around Bill O'Reilly, you know? The type of conservatives that I got in Boston, very similar to Bill O'Reilly, you know? And they have a tendency to shriek a lot, and I have a tendency to shriek a lot, but I don't think I'm right all the time. I mean, I do change. Bill, he's a miracle. No amount of statistics or any amount of proof can sway him from the, you know, what he's paid to say over at Fox. And that's that we're doing fine, you know? This whole thing is just a liberal get-up. Stephen Colbert and his evil comedy. By the way, Stephen Colbert's funny. And it drives them nuts. That's the thing, is that I'm sitting there listening to the cut that O'Reilly's pissed off about. I'm sorry, it's just funny. And you guys tried to, you know, reinvent conservative humor with people like Greg Gutfeld. Now, I've known cancer treatments that were more funny than Greg Gutfeld. Sorry. Just from the industry of a comedy perspective. Forget politics, just comedy. Greg Gutfeld. So anyway, that is our tinfoil hat. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill O'Reilly, he wins a big one today. He is a tinfoil hat. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for tuning in for this week's show. We're going to have a show next week, actually, because Randy couldn't make it up. But I did want to have a show on the subjects that we talked about today because they were so darn important. And, you know, and also saying goodbye to Bill. I can understand, by the way, I did want to say something about, you know, Bill's leaving the show. Some people emailed me and said, and we did get a few letters, where's Bill? And the simple fact of the matter is that I think that when you end up spending your time, like your free time as a hobby, which is what this show is, I mean, it's, you know, this is a hobby. But when you spend your free time actually focused on things like the TPP, global warming, and all that stuff, you have a tendency to get kind of morose in public. And Bill is happily just turned into a grandfather. He has the cutest little baby. Little baby girl that his son and, you know, married son just had their first child. And I think that when you talk about things like global warming, as it does with me, but I think Bill gets rather emotional about it. We do get emotional about it because things are not looking good for that generation that's coming along. And I think that sometimes you have to take a little step back from the politics, and that might be a good thing to leave you with what Blue Gal said. If you need to take a step back, take a step back. Go out and smell the clean air and the roses, because it's not all bad. But we will be back on deck next week with more Bill Show. If you want to contact us, you can contact us on the Bill Show on xpr@gmail.com. You can also go to our website, www.expatprogressive.podbean.com, where you can listen to, golly, geez, we've got literally 80. This is our 90th episode. So we've got, I think, about 70 different episodes that you can listen to all the way back from, you know, when we started about a year and a half, 2 years ago. You can also listen to us on Stitcher Radio, which have been a partner with us for the last 8 to 10 months, and we've really enjoyed that. So please keep those emails coming. Again, I'm looking at the clock. It's 1:18. We're running way over. So we're going to do the emails. I've got a whole bunch of them. We're going to answer them with Randall next week. So until next time, folks, thanks a lot, and stay cool, stay happy from The Bill Show. Ah, London, London, you're a crazy bitch. I left you before to ease my wandering itch. My voice still held you when my heart would not reach. People knew my hometown when they heard my speech. Each time I come back to a changing place, to a harsher language, to an uglier face, entered in darkness.
nothing, no real